Well, the moment that we all wait for every Tuesday here at Caramel Jazz and Blues Radio and all over, actually all over the world, as indicated by the number of responses we get every time we have the Jazz Cat on. By the way, you can go to his website, www.thejazzcat.net. Go to thejazzcat.net, save yourself a lot of trouble, and also indulge yourself in all the things that have to do with jazz events and all the exclusive interviews held by the Jazz Cat right here on Caramel Jazz and Blues Radio. Our archive there, so you can kind of take a look at them, listen to them. There's photos, just a great website, thejazzcat.net. Now, so without further ado, let me introduce Leroy Downs, the Jazz Cat himself, for his Live with the Jazz Cat segment. Leroy?
Hey, Gary, how are you?
How you doing? I'm happy to have you on again.
Well, thank you, man. It's always a pleasure to be on.
It's all yours.
Especially when we have such, man, beautiful in so many ways. I mean, this is one of the sweetest and most down-to-earth musicians I've ever had the pleasure to encounter, and also just put some beautiful creativity on this earth, Miss Regina Carter.
Thank you for that. That's beautiful. How you doing tonight?
I'm very well this afternoon.
See, oh, yeah.
It's Los Angeles time for me,
yeah.
New York time for you.
Right.
And as I told you, it's like 85 degrees inside my place. My windows are open. I know it's not like that in New York, though.
I'll send you a snowball this weekend.
Well, you know, I've watched you perform on a number of occasions, and what's so amazing to see is that you seem so relaxed and your fingers move so accurately with this extreme degree of precision. It must mean that the violin demands this kind of articulation, and I guess it can be quite physically demanding as well.
It definitely is, and well, I've been playing since I was four, so that's helpful. And sometimes I may look relaxed. That's a good thing. Sometimes inside I can be really tense or nervous. I still get nervous. But I know the instrument, you know, it's second nature for me. So that's not a problem when I'm on stage. Sometimes I'll have pieces that I need to practice that are really demanding. And that's why you spend so much time practicing. So when it comes down to the actual performance, even though I might be a little bit nervous, that doesn't hinder me getting around the instrument.
Well, you played one tune. I saw you actually, you were in Monterey, and then right after that, you were at Catalina's. I saw you at both places, and you played a tune. I think it was one of the first tunes that you learned on the violin, and it was really cute. It kind of sounded just like the little four-year-old girl. I forgot, what was that?
Brown Jug.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it was fun. Well, the record, it's mostly, it's made up of tunes that were favorites of my mother. It's a tribute record to her. And then some tunes that are still just from that time period that weren't necessarily tunes she listened to. But that tune especially has a double special meaning because she was instrumental in me being involved in music and dance and very supportive of all of us, my brothers and I, with whatever we wanted to do. And she made sure I practiced every day. And that was one of, like I said, after Twinkle Twinkle, that was one of the first tunes I remember playing. And just to come back now full circle and play it as an adult and as a professional, you know, so it always makes me smile when I play that tune.
Well, it's cute. I like to hear it, too. You're listening to Regina Carter on the show Live with the Jazz Cats on 1410 AM KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. Well, you know, I was in San Francisco this past weekend to see a performance of the SF Collective. And, you know, afterwards, I always love to go backstage and visit with the cats. And I spoke with Joshua Redman, who,
okay.
You know, he just recently lost his father.
Right.
I just recently lost the love of my life, Hytus Kayata, to cancer. And, you know, you lost your mom. And
yeah.
As humans and artists, you know, this puts us in a different dimension. You know, we're still happy as people, but it almost feels like a layer's been peeled off of our happiness. I mean, we become so much more aware of life. And
definitely.
You're able to take this energy and put it into a beautiful tribute album, which you've done for your mother, called I'll Be Seeing You, A Sentimental Journey. It's great.
Thank you. Yeah, it definitely puts your life in perspective, and you know what's really important. And even though she's gone, she's closer to me in some way. It's just a different closeness
yeah.
that you can't explain until you lose someone that you really love. And, you know, know, we talk to each other, and I feel like she's guiding me, and I know that she's helped me through some you know, dark times in a way that she couldn't have helped me before. And so it's, yeah, you just, that whole thing of don't, small things don't get to you as much as they used to.
Yeah.
And I try and really enjoy life more and not take things for granted. And it has forced me to say, okay, you know, I used to be so busy being busy.
Right.
You know? It's like, why? And it gets so caught up in, like, you know, my desk isn't clean or this isn't done or this isn't done. It's like, guess what? And I tell my husband, you know what? When we leave here, our tombstone is not going to say, you know, her desk was still junky. No one cares. You know, no one cares. Let's just, you know, let's enjoy some of this life. We, you know, the society here and traveling so much, especially you go to Europe and you go to dinner and they take hours to eat, you know, or they take a siesta in the middle of the afternoon
so that
they're refreshed. And they know how to enjoy life so that they have some kind of quality of life. And here we're just so work, 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 work. And then, you know, we're caught up into our cell phones and our Trios and iPod, all this stuff, and then we got iPods stuck in our ears all the time, and we're not communicating. We're doing less and less communicating with one another, and just being caught up into work and being alone. And it's really not what we're supposed to be about. That's not the basic thing that we're supposed to be about, and we're forgetting that.
You know, I agree 100% with you. I think some of the best entertainment I've had is when a small group of friends get together, and I remember I was invited over for dinner, and then afterwards we went to take a walk in their neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
It's so simple,
yeah.
But I had just the best time doing that.
Yeah, we don't do that anymore. You know, when I was in San Francisco a couple of months back, I went to see the exhibit of the quilts from the women of G's Bend. And watched, brought the video, watched how they would get together every evening, the women, and quilt and help each other finish their quilts. And I thought, man, I don't even have time to do that. And when I have to sit down and make a date to visit a friend, that's a little bit absurd, you know. That's so important, you know, and losing someone helps you get back to that and remember, you know, tomorrow's never promised to us, so.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Regina Carter right here on Live with the Jazz Cat on 1410 AM, KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. My name is Leroy Downs. Well, you know, the Monterey area really loves you. As Gary mentioned, you were the artist in residence at the Monterey Jazz Festival a few years back.
Yeah,
and, you know, you represent a pinnacle between two worlds of music, you know, classical and jazz, where you open up the ears, minds, and hearts, really, for both audiences to broaden their horizons.
Huh. Well, you know, it's not something that I set out to do. I love music. I don't care what kind of music it is. I love so many different styles of music and the cultures that accompany the music, or vice versa. And the fact that I grew up playing European classical music, that's what I studied until high school, and then that's when I discovered jazz. And then wanted to have a career playing jazz. So when you make a switch like that, you can't leave everything behind that you've learned, and you shouldn't anyway. All of that is part of me, and every experience you have as an artist, that's all a part of you, and that comes out in the music. And that's the beautiful thing, because you share your experiences through your work, you know. And so sometimes for people that may have never had a chance to travel to some of the places that I've been to, they can experience those places somewhat through my music.
Yeah, that's beautiful. You know, most people, as soon as they see or hear a violin, they immediately peg it as a classical instrument.
Right.
But you've been successful in taking the instrument into, as you say, all kind of different genres of music that you like.
Yeah, and I've been really fortunate, because there have been some people before me that have had to struggle, and they've helped to pave the way, you know, as far back as the Stuff Smith, but even, you know, as recent as the late Noel Pointer and John Blake.
Yeah.
And I remember when I first recorded my first record for Atlantic Records back in 1996, And I would send the record. This record would get sent to certain radio stations, and they would just automatically say, we don't play violin. We tested violin, and people don't like the sound. And so I just said, you know, you can't say that people don't like violin. Maybe it was the way that it was recorded, and it made me really look at trying to record the instrument so that it was represented and the sound was as close to its natural and beautiful sound as it is. And what happens is a lot of times, unfortunately, it doesn't get recorded in a way that represents the instrument in the best way, because people don't really know, you know, outside of the, say, classical idiom, how to record it, so it's got that beautiful sound.
Right.
So I just did a lot of research and a lot of work to try and get the best sound that I could, and just didn't, you know, when people would turn me away, you know, I'd keep knocking, you know, and say, no, you've got to play this.
Oh, that's beautiful, and I didn't know that that it was so difficult to record like that.
Yeah, you know, and I've been fortunate enough, the engineer I've been using for the last maybe 4 records, we've done a lot of testing of microphones, rooms, you know, things with the violinist. So he's really taken the time before and in between the sessions to try different things out to get the best sound possible on the instrument. And it's been a learning experience for me, too. So now when I go on the road, you know, each time you play a different venue, you have a new sound company and sound engineer. And so
sure.
I've learned a little bit to be able to tell them what frequencies need to be taken out so that the violin isn't so strident. You know,
right.
It has that warm, beautiful sound.
Hey, Regina Carter right here on the show, live with the Jazz Cat on 1410 AM KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. Well, you know, most musicians usually follow in the tradition of their music, you know, studying the masters and paying homage to them, but not many actually make history in the process. Now, I'm sure you've had to speak on this many times, but if you wouldn't mind sharing some of those treasures moments about your experience with Niccolo Panini's violin.
Yeah, well, that is, you know, when I think about it, it still amazes me. The fact, well, I had 2 friends that I had just recorded, not even, I recorded a rehearsal with the Mancini Orchestra of some charts that John Clayton had written for me in orchestra. And a friend was visiting from Genoa, Italy, and said, you know, it'd be a great idea if you did a concert using Paganini's violin playing these charts with the orchestra. And he went back to the city of Genoa and spoke to the mayor, who's a big jazz fan, who was in agreement right away. And, of course, there were some people that were totally against it because, unfortunately, still in this day and age, some people hear the word jazz and they get nervous.
Yeah,
you know, they have a very negative response to it, they think, you know, and I don't know what they think. But from that, you know, I think, okay, that's good. That's good for me to understand that someone still thinks this way, because sometimes that's attached to how we think about another culture as well. And then, you know, it's your job as a musician to educate these people.
Right.
We finally, after going through a lot of interviews and red tape and blah blah blah, they said yes, they agreed to the concert, and I went over, and you know, the violin is a treasure, it's a national treasure, so it was guarded at all times, and I was only allowed to practice a couple of hours for 2 days before the concert, and I was really nervous, and the violin is much bigger than mine, so nothing was where it should have been. You know, I could hit certain notes, I think they were one place, and it'd be off, you know. In 2 days, you can't learn an instrument. You
right.
usually take a good year to really get to know the instrument. But, you know, the people love the music. They came around, they love the music, and so they gave me the opportunity then to record Paganini After a Dream with Paganini's violin. And then about a year later, Genoa was voted the cultural capital of Europe, and so they brought the violin to New York, and allowed me to play a concert here in New York with the violin to also help, you know, get people to come to Genoa that year. So it was really a blessing, really a dream, and a wonderful experience.
Yeah, it sounds like it. That's absolutely beautiful. Well, the awards, the doctorate in human letters, the prestigious MacArthur Fellowship, this year, the International Association, or the International Society, I should say, for the Performing Arts Distinguished Artist Award. It must be a great feeling and wonderful when the world recognizes and appreciates your creative contributions to the earth.
It, you know what, it, this, it meant so much more to me, because when I lost my mom, I was fortunate enough to be able to spend, you know, her last month with her. And I canceled a lot of work to be there with her. And one presenter sued me for canceling, even though he knew that my mother was making her transition, which was something I couldn't even understand, and it just really ripped through me. It made me really bitter. I didn't want to continue playing music. It took me into a place I'd never been before and never hoped to go to again. And that lawsuit lasted a year, and we ended up settling. But just all that it took me through, now to receive, you know, the MacArthur Award and the doctorate and the award from the ISPA Foundation, and that to me is like the universe saying, okay, here's the sun. You know, you've been in the dark,
right.
So let me give you some sunshine now. And for me, that it really. That's what I needed. It was food for my soul to say, okay, don't let that take away your joy. Don't let that, you know, the very thing that you love, don't let someone else take that from you.
Yeah.
So it was. That's how they were healing gifts.
Yeah. Well, you know, sunshine and nourishment is definitely what you provide when you play for us.
Thank you.
So what? What do you think the Regina Carter mission statement is? I mean, what is the message that you wish to give to the people, and how do you get them to get it musically? You know, you mentioned a little earlier about how people don't get the music, and of course I understand that. How do you go about, what is your strategy, or do you even have one to get the people to hear and understand and listen and enjoy?
I don't really have a strategy. You know, I just play and hope that I provide something for people that come out and listen to the music, and I think, you know, we just came back from Russia, and I sat with a man on the way back that defected and had defected before, and said that, you know, when jazz was out, they used to sneak and listen to it, and if you were caught listening to it or playing it, you would go to jail because jazz was a crime.
Whoa.
You know, and so, yeah, you know, go figure. And so, you know, he said, and he defected and came to the U.S., and he got a chance to hear Ella Fitzgerald. But he said, you know, people then, whenever they could, they would go out and hear live music. They'd go to the theater. It was a big thing. And then once communism ended, so to speak, they... You know, the young people got so totally away from that. They didn't want to go out and hear music. They wanted to be in front of the computer or have their iPods on and just be to themselves. But now it's starting to turn around again where they're starting to go back out and hear live music. And the thing, I think sometimes when we have everything in front of us and we don't have to work for it or we don't have to suffer for it, if you will, then we start to take it for granted. And unfortunately, you know, our audiences are small, just as in, you know, classical European music. The audiences, people don't tend to want to go out and listen anymore. They just rather listen to, you know, stuff over the computer or their CDs at home or watch American Idol. And while they're great CDs, recordings out here, you're missing the magic when you don't go and hear music live or go see a live theater piece or... There's magic that happens between the audience and the artist.
Absolutely.
You know,
it's nourishment. I mean, it wears on our body, and we actually take it with us.
Yeah.
You can't do that through a CD.
No. So just trying to find a way sometimes to get music to the people other than, you know, your standard, you know, going to play at a theater, you know, go into the schools or sometimes go into a hospital and take the music there or into a nursing home and just take it to the people.
Yeah. Well, Regina, it's been absolutely wonderful talking with you. Thanks so much for being here live with the Jazz Cat.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you very much for that great interview, and thank you so much, Regina, for being the artist in residence here on the Monterey Peninsula for the last year or so.
Thank you. It was
really
a lot of fun.
enjoyed your presence at the Jazz Festival and all throughout Monterey Peninsula, all the things you did for the children here. That was terrific.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
We're going to play something that I used to try to play on a clarinet when I was just learning to play an instrument. A real favorite of mine. I finally got pretty adept at it. And it's on Regina's new CD, I'll Be Seeing You, A Sentimental Journey. And this recording is dedicated in loving memory and tribute to her mother and best friend, Grace Carter. And she says right here that I know that you're up there holding court. Thank you for your continued guidance. I'll be seeing you. And Regina asked me to play a little Brown Jug, so I think we'll do that right now.